Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here this morning, dear God. And as we approach this point in time in this service, Lord, we're asking for you, Lord God, to, as you've met with us in the song service, Lord, to meet with us as the word comes forth. Lord, we ask, God, that you'll guide us through the word this morning, dear God, and may it, Lord, be a blessing to the people, Lord, uplifting and encouraging and strengthening, we pray. We give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I want to read from Genesis chapter 6 this morning. We want to continue on with our thought that we've been preaching on last couple services. But just look at it in a little different manner this morning. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You may be seated. Prophet says any time that man begins to multiply and gather and come together on the face of the earth, that Satan has more to work with. And then he says the population begins to grow in the cities, and the cities then begin to become more corrupt and more evil and more crime and more murder and all these things, and more gambling and drinking and prostitution and homes breaking up and marriages and divorces and murder, and it just keeps growing like a chain without an end. And it just keeps getting worse and worse. When man walked alone with God, he had favor with God. He had grace with God. But it became that the imaginations begin to become great and corruption set in. Brother Branham said, no doubt they had a Reno, Nevada, or somewhat like that. Gambling and everything else. Many times we think of the days of Noah, and we think of how the ark was built and made of gopher wood and all these things, and many times it's depicted as being a primitive time. But it was not a primitive time. It was a very advanced time. Man had advanced in knowledge greatly. The Bible tells us there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing. We think about all the great advancements we've had today, but they had great advancements back in that day. With all of our great advancements, we have yet to figure out how in the world to build a pyramid. But yet they were able to build pyramids. There was the pyramid that Enoch built. My. Great advanced time. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is being revealed. I believe we're far advanced in technology and all these things today. But I believe there's evil and corruption and crime. And you know, the thing about the crime today is, depends on who you are, whether you should be guilty of it or not. They want to overlook these things. The criminals should have rights. And it's getting more and more where the criminals, they want them to have more rights than the honest people. As it was in the days of Noah. Don't forget, it also said, as it was in the days of Lot. Yes. And we're full of all this homosexuality and gay and lesbianism and all these things. And that's the way it was in the days of Lot. Right. This world is corrupt with it today. I know these ain't things we're supposed to be talking about anymore. You know, it's called hate speech and all these things, but it's against the Bible. You know, they say they believe in the Bible, but the Bible says that man shall not lie with man as he lies with woman. That's pretty plain. And when the angels came to Lot, Lot offered his daughter to those men that were at the door. They didn't want his daughters. That was something. His daughters were married, but they had never known a man. They were married to some homosexuals. Lot said, take my daughters. They've never known a man. They didn't want them. They said, we want them men that came in here. That's the way it's getting today. The men that came in there were angels. And the Bible says they come near to busting the door in as Lot was trying to hold it. And the angels blinded them. All that stood there so that they could walk on out on past him with Lot and his family. And while they were being delivered, Lot's wife wanted to stay back there with all that corruption. She was a liberal. She believed there wasn't nothing wrong with all that. See what happened to her? That turned to a pillar of salt. But God, in his sovereign grace, looked down on Noah. And the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace in the sight of God. God looked at him. And out of God's eyes, Noah found grace. I want you to know something. It wasn't because Noah was a great man. It wasn't because Noah was some handsome man. It wasn't because Noah was some great guy. It was because Noah belonged to God. That's why he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't because Noah was super religious or a real church-going man or something of this nature. It wasn't any of those things. It was because Noah belonged to God. That's why he found grace. He was a son of God. That's why he found grace. Wasn't Noah's works that saved him. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace. Hallelujah. Noah began to preach to them. God, when Noah found grace, God said, now look, Noah, I want to give you a way to escape. I'm going to destroy this earth. I'm going to destroy man. I'm going to destroy beast, the fowls of the air. I'm going to destroy all of my creation, except for those that I'm going to give you a way to escape with. Now, I'm going to tell you not how to build some great steamliner. I'm not going to tell you how to build some great cruise ship. I'm going to tell you how to build an ark out of gopher wood. Y'all know anything about gopher wood? It's a very porous wood. Very porous. Gopher wood could become waterlogged because it's porous. But God said, I want you to pitch it. Because that gopher wood is going to soak up all that pitch. And when it does, the water won't be able to permeate it. And he gave him the dimensions. And you know what? God wasn't guessing at the dimensions he gave Noah. God knew exactly how big that thing was going to have to be in order for it to take Noah and his family and two of every kind of animal that lived on the face of the earth. He knew just how big it was going to have to be. And it looked ridiculous to the advancement of that day. The prophet said they could shoot up rockets in the air and say, there ain't no moisture up there. There ain't no rain. Noah was saying, it's going to rain. Water is going to fall from the sky. Remember, water had never fell from the sky up to that time. The ground, the plants and everything were watered from a mist that rose up from the ground. That's what the Bible says. They said, there ain't no rain. What's the matter with you, Noah? You're crazy. They denied the real truth. They trampled underfoot the message of grace. God's way of making a way of escape. And it had salvation in it. Boy, I'm so glad to be saved this morning. Aren't you? I'm happy about God's grace. I'm glad that I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ain't you? Friends, you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Look at you. Look where you are. Look at what God's opened up to you. You're not stuck out there in this blind age, blinded and naked and not knowing it, but God has gave you a way to be clothed. He's given eye salve to your eyes. He's opened the end time truth to you. You found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In this wicked and perverse time, you have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. They should have got out in the middle of God's grace and screamed for mercy. They should have screamed for mercy. But you know what the prophet said? They said, we got boats too. See, sometimes you think, oh, they were just so prehistoric, you know, or something. They didn't have boats. No, they had boats. But they was just like the Titanic. They said, it can't sink. The man said, not even God can sink this ship. You know what the Titanic's famous for today? Sinking. It's not famous for how it was built. It's not famous for everything it had on it. It's not famous because of all the celebrities and famous people that were on it. It's famous because it sank. My, my, my. God has never left himself without a witness. In the perverse and wicked time of Noah, God had a witness. It was was one man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Sometimes it comes down to one man. But friends, I'm going to tell you this, it always comes down to it's you and God alone. God don't deal with you as a group. He deals with you as individuals. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God deals with us as individuals. And he offered, friends, look, God, look, it just, this ought to show you that God knows everything. God made the dimensions of that ark to not only fit Noah and his family and all the animals, but it wasn't going to be big enough for the rest of them people. Why? Because God knew they didn't belong to him. They showed they didn't. By the very way they was living, their imaginations was continuously on evil and wickedness. Look at it today. Everything today is about sex. Now they don't just show men and women kissing each other in commercials. They show men kissing men and women kissing women. Look at it today, how it is. Billboards. My goodness. But God's got witnesses today. In this perverse time, you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Everywhere you go, where you work, what you do, who you see, you're a witness of God before those people. They'll answer in that day, say, well, I don't know. I never heard of a prophet named William Branham. But they'll give account in that day because they crossed your path. And you witnessed to them, and they trotted underfoot, laughed at it, mocked it, walked off. Whoa, that's not for me. I couldn't live that way. I remember years ago, Sister Becky Langley was coming to church here, and there was somebody that told me, said, I can't live like Sister Becky. I said, God don't want you to be like Sister Becky. He wants you to be like him. He wants Sister Becky to be like him. What was it? Just some kind of excuse. That's all it was. Like Sister Becky was superhuman or something, beyond something they could do. She was just saved by grace like anybody else. Wonderful sister. Brother Branham says Noah's message was a message of deliverance. It was a message of grace. It was a message of mercy. God made a way to escape so that they could all escape, but he knew not everybody was going to want to escape. He knew what they were going to choose. They were going to choose to make fun of Noah. And think about it. Noah preached 125 years, Peter said. 125 years. Heard one preacher say one time on year 100, Noah got up and said, well, looks like a nice day today, but I'm going to tell you something. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Every time Noah got up to preach, he preached on it's going to rain, and this ark that I'm building is the only thing that's going to save you. Now, the Bible don't tell us just exactly how long the ark was finished before the rain fell. But I can tell you this, the structure of that thing was there like an eyesore to the people. It was there right in front of their sight all the time. It was a constant reminder. They couldn't get away from it. The thing was so big they could see it from all over town. Brother Branham said, what a picture of today. You bring them a message of God's deliverance, and they say you're making fun of religion. They say you're trying to impersonate something. You know what he was talking about? He's talking about the message of deliverance that God was sending to that people that day, 1958, by a prophet of God. Tell them who they were and where they were from and what sickness they had. And there's people criticizing it. You think they would have been thankful seeing people get healed, but they weren't. They said he was reading minds, a mind reader. Said it was all psychology. Brother Branham said it's the same type of group what the hour we're living in. You know what they say about you? They think they're the only ones going to be saved. That's what they say about you. They think they're the only ones going to be saved. They think they're the only ones preaching the gospel. Brother Bram said, these signs shall follow them that believe. That's not my word, that's his word. They looked at Noah and he thinks he's the only one going to be saved. He was. Him and his family. The ones that got on that ark was the only ones that got saved. Remember, the rain began to fall. And the people come up and begin to knock on the door of the ark. Noah, we believe you now. We believe you now, Noah. Let us in. None too late. God had shut that door. Not Noah. God shut that door. When God shut that door, no man could open it. Noah couldn't open it. God had shut it. We believe you now. Ain't that the way it is today? When the hail, the big old 100-pound balls of hail start falling out of the sky and everything, then they'll be saying, wait a minute, we believe now. We believe now. Too late. The prophet said, when those great big balls of hail start falling out of the sky, the tribulation sets in, so there's going to be people say, I thought there was supposed to be a rapture first. He said they'll hear a voice answer back and say, there was, and you missed it. Notice them people he was talking about knew there was supposed to be a rapture first. They knew it. I tell you what, that ought to scare people that would hear this that aren't living the way they should be living, that ain't got their lives dedicated to God. Think they're out here, well, I believe Brother Branham was a prophet. Do you go to church? No. Then you don't believe it. Because he said you should have a home church. And he said you should support it with your tithe and offerings and your presents. They don't believe it. They're just to have knowledge of it. I thought there was going to be a rapture first. There was, and you missed it. Turn me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and encountered the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace? Listen to what Brother Branham says in search that we would see Jesus. They trampled underfoot the blood of the covenant wherewith they were sanctified with, and called it an unclean thing, and do despite to the works of grace. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You see, what they're doing is despite to the very works of grace that's called us to sanctification. They're trodden underfoot the works of grace, the message of grace. They're trodden it underfoot. Oh, they might not be going out and saying, this ain't truth. They just ain't living it. They're living out in the world, doing the things of the world, drinking, running around, carrying on, with the knowledge of the truth. With the knowledge of the truth. And they're sinning willfully. They're not doing it out of ignorance the way Paul said he did. They're doing it willfully. They know what they're doing is wrong. Oh, but they'll try to make up some excuse to justify themselves in doing it. Try to make up some excuse. Well, you know, Brother Jerry just wouldn't accept me, my boyfriend. I'm going to tell you something, friends. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Amen. People make up things to try to make themselves feel all right in doing what they're doing. There's people walking around this town that have a knowledge of this end time message. And I'm going to tell you something. They're going to answer for having a knowledge of it and what they've done with it. It ain't good enough just to have a knowledge of it. You've got to be sold out to God. You've got to be born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you something. The things that some of the folks is doing, the Holy Ghost wouldn't do. They're doing despite to the works of grace. God has extended, friends, I have watched people that God extended grace to. And them take and walk away from it. Had a couple I knew one time got married, knew that them getting married was wrong. That's why they left the church and went to get married. They knew it was wrong by what they'd been told, but they didn't care. Then they came back to church and I watched God extend mercy to them. And the last I heard, they don't even go to a message church anymore. Walk away from grace. Trample underfoot the very works of grace, which you and I have been called to salvation under. Hallelujah. Why was it that God looked down and Noah found grace in his eyes? God spoke to Noah the same word that Noah spoke to the people. Yeah, Noah spoke to the people what God spoke to him. But see, Noah had a different reaction to it than what they did. They made fun of it and scoffed at it. But Noah was quickened by it. When God said, I'm going to destroy the earth, Noah, and water's going to fall from the sky, and I am going to flood this earth with water and totally destroy it, but I'm going to give you a way of escape. And something in Noah quickened. Now, it's like the prophet said, there had to be something in there to quicken first. Just like with Paul. Paul was persecuting the church out of ignorance. But when he came in face to face with that light on the road, it stopped him in his tracks. And he noticed what he said. Who are you, Lord? Paul knew that that was a supernatural being. Paul knew that was God appearing to him. He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Yeah. In other words, Paul, you're going to do what I want you to do because you belong to me. But there was something changed in Paul. Paul was zealous, friends. He was zealous for the law. The reason he was doing all the things he was doing, because he was a zealous person and thought he was doing right. But he knew after he met that light, something changed inside of him. And the very, very Lord that he was persecuting, he now believed in. He now was going to preach about. He now was going to become one of them ones that got thrown in prison. He went from throwing people in prison to getting imprisoned himself. Devil said, I got you now. I've got you thrown in prison. Not knowing that the very reason that God allowed Paul to get thrown in prison was because there was a jailer down there that needed salvation. How else was Paul going to get to talk to a jailer except him be in jail? Hallelujah. And I'll tell you something. There was a seed down inside that jailer. And when he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul spoke back to him, something quickened in him and he believed it. Noah believed God because something was inside of him. It was just like Brother Branham said about Paul. The Word saw the Word. Hallelujah. Noah was a part of God. That's why he could accept God's Word. Them other ones out there that was making fun and scoffing, they weren't a part of God. They weren't in the thoughts of God. Ephesians 2 says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By nature now, but not by birth. By nature, by that worldly nature that you were born with that needed to die. Because you was going to have a new nature. Why? Because something that was inside of you came alive. That eagle down there in that barnyard was born down there, hatched under a chicken. He was scratching around like the chickens, trying to eat that stuff. But when that scream of that mother eagle came, it awoke a nature in him, the real nature of who he was. He couldn't make them cluck cluck noises like the chickens. But when he heard the scream of that eagle, he said, "Now that sounds like my voice."
Amen.
That's the way I talk. We talk like Jesus, don't we? Hallelujah. But God, who is rich in mercy, oh, hallelujah. For his great love wherein he loved us. Look, friends, God didn't come across the time and say, "You know what, I think I'll love Phil Bontrager." No, he always loved him. Because he belonged to God. He loved him when we would have thought he was unlovable. He loved me when you would have thought I was unlovable. He loved you when you were dead in trespasses of sin. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. What was it? You found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. A lot of people want to point their salvation at, well, because they do this, or because they do that, or because they don't do this, or because they don't do that. In other words, their works. But it's through faith. You have to believe you're saved. Not because you feel good. Not because you feel real religious. Not because you feel like you're a good Christian. But you accept it on faith. You're saved because you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. It's a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Now, we studied before on character and said character is not a gift. Character is a victory. But this is a gift. God's grace saves you. It's a gift. In other words, it's not anything that you had to do to qualify. Noah wasn't saved by his works. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. Now, in Genesis chapter 18, this is a story about Abraham and Sarah. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I'll fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye have passed on. For therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, the prophet said God came down and he picked up some dust and a little bit of potash and some potassium and some different things and light and blew on it and created a body that he could step into. And he created two more bodies for the angels to step into. And then they walked up to Abraham. And Abraham said, if I found favor in thy sight. I want to tell you something, friends. It showed that he had found favor in their sight because God came to him. That showed he had favor. You have favor with God. God has showed you that because God's come to you and called you out of this mess in this world. You have found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And he come down and he sat down with Abraham. And he ate butter and cakes and ate some beef. God. That showed that Abraham had found favor with him. And further to show him, he revealed his word to Abraham just as he's revealed his word to us. He said, where's Sarah? Abraham said, she's in the tent behind you. He said, I'm going to visit you about the time of life, and Sarah is going to have you a son. Amen. The Bible said that Sarah laughed within herself and said, me an old woman, my Lord an old man, me have pleasure with him. God said, why did Sarah laugh? Sarah didn't laugh out loud. The Bible says that. You can read it. Forgive me, I get tears in my eyes. I can't read nothing. It said, and Sarah heard it in the tent doors behind him. And therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have waxed old, shall I have pleasure in my Lord being old also? She laughed within herself. But the one sitting there with his back to the door of the tent said, why did Sarah laugh? He read the thoughts of her heart. Brother Branham stood there one message. And he said, if this be the same God that appeared to Abraham, he'll do the same thing he did when he appeared to Abraham. And he turned around and put his back to the audience and began to call people out, telling the thoughts of their heart. It's the same God. We found favor with God because God has come down in this age and he's revealed his word to us. He's opened our eyes and he's opened the word. And we don't just have a knowledge of the truth. The truth is live within us. We've took the book and ate the book. Hallelujah. We've become one with this revealed message. It's not the message of William Branham. It's the message of Jesus Christ. God's revealed himself to us in this day. I think about all those that are blind to it. Their eyes haven't been opened. They think they're serving God. They go to church every Sunday. But Jesus said there'd come a day that you'd worship him in spirit and in truth. He said it now is. And it's been ever since. Why did Abraham find favor? Abraham, down in Shinar, the valley of Shinar, where the souls of many journeyed after the destroying of Babylon, the confusion had taken place. Abraham's father brought Abraham and his loved ones down to Shinar and all that land among all those people, and one man found favor with God. Now I want you to notice that is the beginning of Christianity, of the church. I want you to notice it wasn't because Abraham was a good man. It was because God elected and chose Abraham. It wasn't Abraham's choosing God. It was God choosing Abraham. Can you see it? Now watch. Now as it was then, so is it today. It isn't you choosing God. It's God choosing you. Now this may be very, very strong. I want you to notice immediately after the choice, there's separation of everything else. As soon as he elects and calls, he separates you from everything that hangs on to you. And that proves it isn't a denomination God's working with. It isn't two or three people together. He expects every individual. It's an individual affair with every person. Abraham found favor with God not because of what he was doing. Abraham did what he did because of who he was. And who he was the son of God. He was going to be the father of faith. Hallelujah. Read to you the last couple of Sundays. Brother Ram says, you believe in election, don't you? You do if you believe the Bible. Because it's in the Bible. Amen. Our names was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That's what the Bible says. Your name didn't get put on the Lamb's Book of Life when you heard some preacher preach and believe something he said. That ain't when your name got put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name got put on the Lamb's Book of Life. According to the Bible now, your name got put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Brother Branham didn't put your name on there. I didn't put your name on there. Some other preacher didn't put your name on there. No other man put your name on there. Your name was on there before the foundation of the world. I want you to notice something. Your name was always on there. There wasn't a time that God had to sit down and say, Phil Bontrager. Nope, his name was always on there. Because if you're eternal, you never had a beginning. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world, you ought to be thankful to God you was elect. We said last Sunday, when was that seed put in you? Before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. He chose you. No man can come to me except the Father draws him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says this in the Message of Jehovah and Miracles. He said, the thing you want is favor with God. You don't care what the Holy Spirit causes you to do. To shout, to scream, to cry, to bawl, anything that wants you to do, anything the Holy Spirit puts on you, you do it because you don't care. You lost all that man-made stuff. You're free in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God has set you free, and you're free in the power of God, bathing in His beauty, worship Him in the Spirit and truth. You're a free person. You took the Word of God, and it took a hold in your heart. You're free. If we're free, when the Spirit moves on us, we ought to be able to show the Spirit's moving on us. Not sit there like bumps on a log. We shouldn't be sitting out there looking like we just ate a sour pickle. We should be worshiping the Lord. This word should make us happy. That God has come down to you in this day and age and called you out of all this filth and opened up His word of truth unto you. You're not sitting around blind somewhere in this Laodicean age. You're not going to miss the rapture. Why? Because something has awoken you. You've received the word. It shows you've got favor with God. Just like the woman at the well. She had been foreseen by God. Jesus said, I have need to go to Samaria. Why? Because there's an elect seed down there. And she has found favor in my sight. Oh, she didn't have favor in the world's sight. She didn't have favor in man's sight. She didn't have favor among the other women of the town. But she found favor in God's eyes. Notice this. We said Noah had found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Didn't know what the Bible says? And Abraham asked, if I found favor in thy sight. Hallelujah. Amen. The woman at the well was predestinated to see it. I know there's a lot of people that I've been around and had dealings with that don't believe in predestination. So they say, doesn't sound fair that God would predestinate some people to go to heaven and others to go to hell. That's not exactly how it works. But the word predestination is in the Bible. I don't care what it sounds like. And you can't look at it through human understanding. God knew you. You were a part of God. Therefore, He could predestinate you. We broke it down before and said your destiny is determined beforehand. That's what predestination means. If you're going on a trip, you don't decide where you're going after you get there. You don't jump on the plane and fly from Nashville to Chicago and then decide, I think I'll go to Chicago. You decide that first. You buy your ticket for Chicago. You don't just jump on a plane and say, well, I'm going to go wherever this thing takes me. Well, maybe you might, but not usually. You know where you're going when you get on there. And friends, I'll tell you what. We're not looking to take an airplane ride. One of these days, we're going to take a plain air ride. And we know where we're going. I know I'm going to heaven, don't you? Hallelujah. I know where I'm going. I've got my ticket in hand. I'm not leaving it up to chance. I want my life right. You know, when I went through school, especially when I went to college, I didn't try to squeak through. I wanted an A in every class. I didn't want to just squeak by. I figured I was going there and paying for this thing. I ought to learn what I'm going there for. I wanted to be on the dean's list every semester. I'm not saying this to brag. What I'm saying is this. I don't want to make it to heaven by the skin of my teeth. I want to make it with flying colors. Amen. I want to ace this thing. I don't want to say, well, Lord, I got a C. Can I still get in? The D's still passing today, they say. I'll tell you what a D is. A D is, I don't want to see you again next year, so I'm going to pass you on to the next class. She was foreseen by God. Today, if the light of God, that Holy Spirit, ever strikes a predestinated seed whose name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, it'll quicken it. Something takes place inside. And you can't explain it. Somebody had asked you, explain to me what happened to you. You tried to explain it and it still won't make no sense. Now you try to tell me. And somewhere in between there, we can read between the lines because it's happened to me too. And so we understand one another. We're speaking the same language. Hallelujah. We said before, brother, I said, you did not become a seed by rebirth. You were a seed and therefore could be reborn. You weren't born a pig or a dog and became a sheep. You always were. You weren't born a buzzard and then became an eagle. You always were. And that's why when eagle food was presented to you, you were able to tear in there and eat it. Eagles don't drink milk. They're born eating meat. We ought to be able to eat the meat of the word. We shouldn't be sitting around church saying, wish the pastor would give me a bottle. Baby me around a little bit. I'm going to tell you something. We ain't hothouse plants. We don't got to be babied to grow in the Lord. We don't got to be babied and propped up for a child of God. We hear the word, we grow in it. Restore unto you, saith the Lord. I will restore unto you, saith the Lord. Brother Graham said, talking about Cain and Abel. He said, both boys wanted to find favor with God. Think about that now. Cain wanted to find favor with God. Brother Ram said, Cain wasn't an atheist. Cain wasn't a communist. Cain believed in God. Cain wanted to find favor with God. Why was it that Abel was able to find favor with God. Why was he able to find favor with God? The Bible tells us by faith, he offered a more excellent sacrifice than the sacrifice of Cain. Faith is a revelation. Now, the prophet said that Adam and Eve did the boys a disservice. That's what he said in the message. He said Adam and Eve did not teach them what really happened in the garden and why they got kicked out. That's what he said. He said they told the boys it was fruit. That's where that came from. What it was, they didn't break it down for them. They didn't tell them what the fruit was. They said, we were allowed to eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we ate of that tree, and God kicked us out. And so therefore Cain brought fruit and things that he had grown, things that he had planted, things that he had toiled over. And he built a beautiful altar. But by revelation, Abel caught that wasn't what took him out of the garden. Abel got a revelation that there would have been something was slain. Mom and dad got covered. We got covered. Our nakedness got covered because something was slain. And that's what's going to take us back. And so Abel took a little innocent bleeding lamb. Brother Ram says he took a rock and smashed its head. And he cut it and bled it out on the altar. And God looked down. I want you to know something. That isn't why Abel found favor with God. Abel found favor with God before he ever even done that. Because he belonged to God, because he was a son of God. Amen. He was a son of Adam. Remember, when Cain was born and then Abel was born, that Adam named the woman Eve because he said she was the mother of all living. He never said he was the father of all living. Cain didn't belong to God. He wasn't a son of God. But Abel was. You found favor with God because you're sons and daughters of God. Amen. Not because you come to church here. Not because of your works or anything you do or anything you don't do. You belong to him. That's why you found favor with him. Amen. Let's stand. I get to preaching on something like this, and I just want to go on. And I preached a little bit longer today, a few minutes longer than what I'd normally do. But I sometimes want to just go on and on. Amen. I'm going to leave this week. Toward the end of this week, I'm going to go up to Ohio, and my wife and I, we're going to visit her dad and my mom. And we're going to be up there a couple of weeks. And then we'll be back, coming back home on the 30th, I believe, of this month. And so Brother Phil's going to be here with you. Praise the Lord. And I know y'all will be fed and took good care of. And just pray for us. And we want to, you know, you got to spend some, Mina and I have really learned that you got to spend some time with your mom and dad, take some time with them while they're still living, because you don't know when the time will come that God will take them. And You know, when God does take them, you feel like that you didn't, when you live this far away, you feel like you didn't spend enough time with them. And so just pray for us, and we're going up there to visit. And like I said, we'll be back on the 30th. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We're thankful for your word, Lord. Ask that you be with us, dear God. And Father, as we depart from this place where we've come to worship and hear your word together, Lord, I pray, God, you bless your people today as you blessed them with your word. May you continue to bless them, Lord, as they go to their homes, Lord. And as they go, some, Lord, go to get something to eat. I pray, dear God, that you would just watch over them, dear God, and keep them safe in this time, in this day that we live in. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.